BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season. From MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Yo, what's happening? The pom-poms are shaking. It is time to get it on. We are back once again. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. This is Band Sessions, boom, bam, with the boom. It's your boy, Terrell Key, a.k.a. T-Reezy.
And it's your girl, Danielle, a.k.a. Don Yeezy.
And Toby Johnson, a.k.a. S.F. Furious Styles.
Furious Styles. So Toby.
What's
AKA
up?
Toby. Danielle has a wonderful, nice photo
you see that?
Behind her in a flag formation. Oh, my gosh. I love that. I got to get it. So, Toby, we the ones slipping. We got to decorate our scenario. Winnie with the mask on. I have to put clothes on. Toby, we'll figure it out. I need it. Huh? What?
The mask is covering his whole face.
His whole face. He can't see.
He can't see, breathe, nothing.
It's allergy season. You know, allergy season, it affects your eyes.
He's safe. Nose, he's safe. He can't get COVID or vision.
Right. COVID or pollen in his eyeball. You say he can't get vision?
Right? He can't see.
He can't get
vision. Covered his eyes.
He can't get COVID can't or get vision.
Because his eyes are covered. Hey, look, y'all. So check it out. Once again, I'm stupid. Hey, they let us back, y'all.
We're
back
again.
I'm excited. I'm always excited because I love doing this. I love doing this with y'all. We don't want to do this with anybody else.
Man,
I don't want to do this with anybody else. I'm enjoying this, y'all. We got another special guest, but before we get to that, what we got going on?
Yeah, right. This is what we got going on.
We got the pump. Hey, real quick. So every game that I attend, I always forget my pom-pom. End up having to buy another pom-pom every game. I have about 8,900 pom-poms. I'm selling them for 50 cents a piece. Let me know.
Hey, that's like a dollar cheaper.
I'm joking.
You know, 2.5 cheaper.
That's $1.50 cheaper. I'm just kidding. Just jokes. But we got pom-poms are how we rock. We gotta have a pom-pom. You don't have a pom-pom at the game.
You know what it is. You know what this is about.
I know what it is. I love it. All right. We hear y'all. What we got going on today? What's popping?
I got a question, guys.
You have a question?
I got a question. It might be a little bit controversial.
Uh-oh. I'm nervous. I don't like not knowing. I think I need to know. I don't know.
Nah.
It makes more
fun when you don't know.
It's
the experience. It's the human experience. So the trumpet player, Trump.
TF.
Oh.
TF.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't play your instrument in a boom, what section, what instrument would you have played?
I got to answer. Go ahead, Danny. I'm sorry.
I would have been your crab sister.
Oh, which one? My crab sister?
I would have been, what is it? Tender by tender. I would have been.
You're a tender? I can see that. I can see you doing that.
I love the tenor.
You got mild aggression. motion. So like
mild, you can do right? It's like right there in the
yeah.
Yeah.
I just see that.
So this is more of a reason why this all works. Like what we're doing, us three.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Danielle, how are you doing? I'm sorry.
I'm done. You are all into it. Go ahead.
I am because
WT.
No, I ain't doing all that. Listen, in middle school, when I attended Northwest Middle School, all right, Mr. James Donald, he allowed all of the sixth graders to try out on every instrument. I passed on two. One was the snare drum, and the second one was the trumpet. So I started out on trumpet in sixth grade. Then I moved to mellophone and French horn. The drums, the snare drum was my, and this ain't, look, I ain't trying to give WT all of y'all. No, it's my time. I ain't trying to give WT all of these accolades. I'm not trying to do that because y'all are cocky. Y'all got y'all own room. I ain't got time for right.
It's still my time.
Y'all got y'all own little room and everything. It's small. Y'all can barely fit up in there, but it's all good. Ain't no AC in there. The vents don't work. But if I did not play the mellophone or the French horn, the snare drum would have been my instrument.
That's a great question.
I didn't know that, Danielle. I didn't know you were interested in percussion.
I love this.
I can see you as a 5 foot, 2.5 tenor drummer. Groom, groom, groom.
But look, like, even the downright joints, I like those too because I liked how Tennessee State played.
Shout out to the state.
You know, so I'm gonna tell you, so it's like a lot of times when I'm just randomly anywhere, whether I'm sitting in the car, I'm sitting at a desk, I'm always beating on something with my hands on a table of some sort, a box of some sort to make the noise. So I'm always beating on something. So that whole drummer percussionist thing, because I'm into beats, like the music guiding me. The beat is what drives me. It's the boom. I'm a bass head, snare, you know, mids. So highs, mids, and lows, you know. So there's highs, the cymbals.
It's mids, all in there.
Which would be, you know, tenor, snare, lows, of course, bass drum. So highs, mids, and lows. So I'm a beat guy. So the beat is what. I'm a beat guy, so I give props to War and Thunder.
Oh.
See, you doing way too much. I didn't ask you for your hand gestures.
It's not even a fair question because, like, if you ask me, like, what, like, I'm a simple player. I'm staying in the same section. I'm staying in the same section. No,
you cheating. That don't make
sense. No. But if I did have to go outside of WT, it would be I got. It's cheap. Two sections. Like, I've always wanted to do DT with the Tuba Dogs. Watch it in, you know.
That's one.
And the saxophones. I always thought it was funky. So
when you say Tuba Dogs, so when you say the tubas, are you talking about carrying a bass line? Versus the saxophone.
I'm sorry, I said that's okay. T.O.P. I'm sorry. That's gonna come back.
You just like how they march, Toby.
It was just smooth to me. It's just smooth. And then like with Tuba Dogs, it was just hard. It was just funky. Mm-hmm. Like it's just the march. And then when I look back, like no, not even looking back. I'm looking at now, like at the 2023, 2024 boom and stuff. Like I find beauty in every section now. I don't know, maybe I'm getting old, but like even like with the piccolos in the front, like I can tell the ones that got ADD because they legs be moving side to side while they playing. they feeling it, but their legs be like going like side to side. They in it, and then the trumpets, like they just standing there and they just leaning back and pulling the trumpets back. It's just some beauty in everything that's going on right now. But like back then too, it was beauty in it. But like I know, like I've always had like a like an admiration for, you know, Dog Team and T.O.P.
That's what's up.
I love that.
Yeah. I'm sure our Tuba Dog sisters and brothers and our T.O.P. sisters and brothers, Tower Power sisters and brothers would love, would be very elated to hear that a percussionist has had some type of admiration of being a wind player. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Instead of doing this all day long, you can get an armature fixed.
No, monolithic. We all different.
I'm gonna pull my pom pom out on that.
Pull the pom pom out. I like that.
Pom-pom,
I like that.
You gotta shake the pom pom on that one. Okay, that was cool. I like that. That was good. That was a good question. You know. Okay. All right. So this is what we're about to do, guys, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dogs and cats, chickens and cows, everybody, ladybugs and mosquitoes, galley nipples and snails and centipedes. We are here. If you can hear, if you're under the sound of my voice, we are back. Band Sessions with the Boom. We have our next special guest. Because guess what, Toby and Danielle?
All I guess is what?
All our guests are special.
All our guests are special. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, without a further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Dijon Oliver. Woo-hoo! Pom poms in the air. Look at that. Four pom poms going. You can't do it.
Yeah.
Dijon, what's up? What's going on, man? Man, how you doing, my guy? What's going on with
you? What's going on, people? Good people. Can you hear me?
We hear you, baby.
Loud and clear. Loud.
All right. Good to see. I mean, y'all aging backwards.
I'm looking at we can say the same for you, sir.
It's like I haven't seen any of you all in over 20 years. Y'all look resilient, man. Time has been good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Keep saying that, man. We're gonna have you on like 3 episodes.
Right. We need you back. Like, you're gonna be like, you know what?
It's a pleasure to be amongst you. Pleasure. I love the work that you all are doing. Yeah.
Listen, man. Before we get into it, man, I want to say thank you first and foremost for being available to do this show, being available to come on. I've been excited all day long, man. I've been waiting to get you on here so we can just have some conversations, have some laughs and some jokes, man, and just talk about whatever, man. So we're gonna let's get right into it. So I'm gonna step back because I know Danielle has an amazing question for you first. I'm gonna step back and I'm gonna grab this cup here that's got JSU on it. The I love. We always represent the Tigers. We always represent, you know what I'm saying? It's just water and ice in here.
Cap.
Pause, and that's all I have. I'm gonna fall back, and I'm gonna be back. I'm gonna be right here. I ain't going nowhere. I'm just excited to have you on, man. I enjoy doing this, man. It's so much fun, man. I'm at home, kids and wife downstairs, man. I'm just having a good time with this, man. So let's get into it.
Absolutely.
So Dijon.
Done yet.
Right. Listen. So
he ready. He listen, always
so
ready.
Right. So stay always ready. Stay on the ready. at the ready. So you know, the first question that we ask, the question that we always ask our guests is, you know, what is your boom story? Basically, how did you get to the boom?
Absolutely. I tell you, my story is compound complex. And it's exciting. Let me take you back to 1996. I was in high school, Sitting in High School, out of Montgomery, Alabama, marching band under then the late Dr. Butch Cooper, Charles Butch Cooper. We were invited to a Battle of the Bands in Memphis, Tennessee in 1996. Keep in mind our colors of our school, blue and white, our mascot Poets. And at that time, my high school band was marching 300 plus.
In Montgomery.
Keep in mind, this was years ago. So we had this Battle of the Bands. And so we march in there. If I'm not mistaken, what's the stadium in Memphis?
The Liberty Bowl.
Liberty Bowl. Battle of the Bands. So we march in. Crowd goes wild. People hadn't seen us before. So I'm like, why are they going wild? Well, unbeknownst to us, we didn't know that the Sonic Boom of the South of Jackson State University was participating also too. So as we marched in, the crowd was thinking that we were JSU per the colors coming in. So we perform an Earth, Wind, and Fire show. The Sonic Boom 1996 edition performed an Earth, Wind, and Fire show.
Wow.
There. Yeah, man, it was electrifying. So the Boom high up showed us love for our show. And after the performance, we march on out to the bus. I was approached by Demoris Adams at that time, was a featured twirler in the Boom at that time. He came on the bus. And that was the recruiting that he did right then. So when I got back home to Montgomery, Alabama, I received a phone call maybe a couple of weeks later from the one and only Dr. Louis Liddell. Dr. Ellis Oliver, this is Dr. Louis Liddell, band director, Jackson State University Marching Band. We saw you in Memphis. You were very good. You very good. You very good. My twirler, Mr. Adams, spoke to you. We want you to come to JSU. We want to see what you have here. So let me give you a little information. I'm like, well, thank you, Dr. Liddell. Thank you. Yeah, you're good. You're good. But I got to see if you're really good to be here. So after that conversation, which was a very lively conversation, don't have a voice. It was a very lively conversation. And he was very energized and very taken by my talent. And I was at the finishing up my mass communication degree at Alabama State University. Jackson State University has a Department of Languages and Literature that I was very interested in. And upon completing my mass communications degree, I was like, well, let me look into, you know, let me see what JSU talking about academic wise first. Hadn't really agreed at that time to participate band wise, but made it up to the school and spoke with the advisors and professors in the department, a liberal arts department. And then I decided to just stop by F.D. Hall Music Division. And when I stepped in, it was like,
love it.
So
you are crazy.
This what a Boom. This home of the Boom. Yeah. I'm like, well, okay, let me just stand here. Ain't nobody gonna recognize me. Lo and behold, who comes out of the office? Dr. Louis Liddell. So keep in mind, I had not met him in person, just seen him from afar. But for somehow, he knew exactly who I was. Doc had this sense, like none of them. He called me Mr. Oliver. I was like, whoa. I was like, I'm Mr. Oliver. I know you, Mr. Oliver. So from that's where the beginnings became of my transition from Alabama State to Jackson State. And this goes into how Danielle and I met. So good friends of mine, classmates from Alabama State and bandmates are from Detroit, and they were in school and friends with Danielle. And so they looked out for me. They communicated with Danielle and those that were at JSU to look out for me. So when I arrived, I saw Danielle, I'm like, hi, I'm DeJuan Tellis Oliver. You know, my friend, I'm Andre Batten. And Danielle was like this.
Okay. The face she's making right now.
Okay. And she walked away. I was toe up. I was like, ooh, okay. Welcome. But yes, from that
is so funny. We just get started.
Hold on, he's so animated.
Genuine. It was so genuine. Danielle looked at me like,
okay.
Okay.
Nice to meet you.
I was like a little mini villain.
And I loved it because it was so genuine. It was so genuine. But yes, and then from there, that's when my just wonderful memories, performance memories, the family I made within the Boom and at Jackson State, it really played a role in my life then. And it played a role in my growth also too. As a person, as a performer, keep in mind, I didn't know anybody in Mississippi. I didn't know anybody in Jackson. You know, I'd be like, hey, I'm here. And it was a different experience. And those experiences that I took under my wings then, that cultivated me, that made me the person I am, Jackson State University, and definitely the sonic boom of the South. One thing about the boom, if you are not accustomed to reality, you will become accustomed to reality.
Quick, fast,
and a hurry in the boom. Most expeditiously.
Mm-hmm. Expeditiously.
Mm-hmm. Expeditiously. And I value that. And that's one of the strengths that I take with me, that I took from Jackson, from the boom, that I carry with me today. Because there was no playing the radio there. Everything had a place, everything had a time, everything had a position. There was order. Mm-hmm. And there was always a plan. Always a plan. Mm-hmm. And so with it, and keep in mind, I was a bandhead young. We all were bandheads young. Of course, when BET would show the football games on Saturday band, the number one band was the boom showing. Mm-hmm. And that is how I really learned more immensely about the boom. And then also seeing someone just like me on the field doing my talent there. And at that time, this was circa 1990. Mm-hmm. When the boom homecoming 1990, if I'm not mistaken, when the boom played Texas Southern there and the vet there and the Dr. Jimmy James's announcing is still legendary to this day. Mm-hmm. And he set the pinnacle that so many band announcers live to personify. You know, he said that even in middle school and high school, it was like, who is this man? We had never heard anything. The terms he were using, we knew they were big, you know, but we had never heard them used in the form, the summa pinnacle, you know, fine tune your sensory apparatus.
Uh-huh.
Now you say that today, but like fine tune what?
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, where can I find a thesaurus? He had a thesaurus. He didn't have Google.
He didn't have Google then. He was just brilliant in his delivery. And you knew that was the staple of the sonic boom. You knew that was the sonic boom when you heard his voice. From there, just falling in love with the style, falling in love with the energy, falling in love with the passion. And I was more in tuned with the music and parts more so than auxiliary. Even though that's what I was a part of, I twirled, I danced. But it was something about the music that was moving. And it's something about that music intertwined with me that moved my performance. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's one thing for you to get out there and just, you know, just twirl and just move. But when you have a band behind you playing with such passion, playing with such vigor, your performance, whether it be twirling, whether it be dancing, whatever your placement is, it has to be to par to what's coming behind you there, you know. And I'm very grateful to have had that experience. I'm very grateful that I was recruited as I was. I was very grateful to have developed the relationships that I did there. I was very grateful for the education that I received from JSU. And not just JSU within itself, but also the sonic boom. That's a whole different education system.
Right. John, like I want to connect some dots because like you talked about your high school in Alabama, and then like the portion of your life at Alabama State. Much love, respect to Alabama State. Did you participate in the marching program at Alabama State?
I did. Okay. Yes. My first season, my crab season, was 99. Okay. That would have been my sophomore season. I would have come in 98, but that the program was ready for me just yet. And then, well, keep in mind, I grew up in Montgomery, and I grew up on that campus, and I grew up around that band.
Right.
Also, too, having elder relatives that have come through Alabama State and also through that band. Mm-hmm. And growing up on that campus and knowing that band program, but at that time, there were changes in direction. Mm-hmm. As far as band directors. And so this particular band director at that time, even though he was very talented and brilliant, my particular talent, he was not too keen upon for them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as time went on, that's when I segue in. Now, keep in mind before then, Alabama State itself within auxiliary had a full majorette squad.
Right.
That majorette squad was reduced to just twirlers, myself and another teammate of mine that 99 season. Mm-hmm. And then the entire administration changed thereafter that 99 season. And I was on my way out and I was like, okay, I do want to finish this second degree. I want to look and peer into it. And that's where Jackson State came along.
So I want to give a shout out to Dijon because right now, because he's the inventor of the transfer portal. We gotta give shout out
the marching band transfer
because like these dudes making the money now was... like you know like going from one school to the next. Dijon was like, you know what, I don't like it here. I'm like,
yo,
I want to explore my options. Transfer portal, man, look,
he said transfer portal for the marching band, man. Yo, that's an idea. That's an idea that may actually come to fruition. You never know. Hey,
no, you're the creator of that. This ain't best for me right now, and I gotta find something else. I gotta find this spot. Whoa, I love it. So, I love it.
That's love crazy. It. That's crazy. So, like,
man,
wow. So, Toby, you said something, Dijon. You laughed because you know that's true.
Right,
piggybacking off.
I went in the portal. Like, you know,
at it from that life. Dynamic until now. Okay,
that's what this is for. That's why we're here. So, piggybacking off what Danielle asked, and then you know, listening to what you said. So it's like, okay, cool. Transfer a portal, right? Cool. Boom. Let's see what Jackson State got going.
Literally, boom.
Here you are, right? Literally, boom. So here we are, Dijon. You're moving on to another scenario. Another portion of the swag, yes. You know, okay, twirler, auxiliary, dancer. The only majorette scenario that you came from got canceled, like you just said, right? So right. It was just the twirlers and your other teammate. So now you're at Jackson State twirling because you were a twirler, but there's a majorette squad at Jackson State. Tell me how you were able to. I don't even know the words that I'm looking for, but just look at my hands. Like, how are you able to stack? I couldn't even. I don't even know.
I get it. I understand exactly.
How are you able to like
hit the like button if you understand what his hands mean?
Please. Like, how are you? You know that I'm sorry. You know what that means. That question was not prepared. Like, it literally hit me. Like, how are you able to like stack and fit the puzzle pieces, what your talent into what was already established?
Very good question. Very good question. And that goes back to me being a band head. And we as band heads, all of you all are band heads, don't act. Band heads.
Is
we nerds. M-
are.
Are. Baptized.
In the name.
Hallelujah. In the name. But if you know, if you recollect back to your own, we would all look at, as far as me, I just narrowed down to me, at everybody's band style. And we feel that, or you can feel you can adapt to everybody's band style. You study that style. That's a different calling. That's a different eye within just being a band head. Well, having followed Jackson State and definitely following Jackson State after I was able to see a performance where there is someone out there twirling that looks just like me, that's a male. And then come to find out and learn that there is a lineage. There have been a lineage, a tradition of twirlers at Jackson State, and all of them, the two majority of them, have been male. Mm-hmm. That was something within itself there. And keep in mind, the history goes all the way back. Not only was this entity here, it spawned another entity, which is legendary, which are the Prancing J-Sets, the thrill of a billion, more than a billion eyes, the Prancing J-Sets, which spawned from the first set of twirlers, which was under the direction of the late Shirley Middleton Blakely, who was a majorette herself during Jackson State College years, that transitioned on into the first set of twirlers that twirled and danced, which were called Hang 'em High. Then, which transitioned into them becoming the Prancing J-Sets circa 1971.
Wait, what?
Boy, this boy is a
Wait, we gotta rewind. Reverse. Donito, please go ahead with the reverse. Cause I saw you, I saw your eyes.
Yeah.
You saw it and I was like, huh? Wait.
So
go ahead.
He's speaking history, dude. Well,
yes, you are. And I hadn't heard this.
We got to pause it. Go ahead, Danielle. Go ahead.
Were you just saying before Mrs. Nara Otis?
Uh-huh.
What were they called? And
they were called Hang'em High. Hang'em High is the transitional squad before they became Prancing J Sets. They abandoned their batons after Hang'em High. That's where they abandoned. Yeah, you read a lot of bios or you hear where they abandoned. Well, they asked President Peoples at that time to not twirl anymore because that was a fashion. But everybody was kind of slowly gearing in to dance. Keep in mind, Alcorn had already transitioned from twirling into dancing, the Golden Girls. Southern Dancing Dolls had already transitioned from twirling into dancing. Before then, they were called the Southern Belles there. So Jackson said the Jasons were the last squad to kind of transition from baton twirling into pure dancing.
Okay.
Hang'em High was a combination of dancing and twirling there. Hmm. And they became full-fledged Prancing J Sets the full season of 1971.
I was about to say, do you remember about what year that was? And you just said 71.
Yeah, that's when. Yes. Yeah, that's in the history.
That is the first full season of the Prancing J Sets. Yeah,
that's in the written history. However, the Hang'em High part is not.
The Hang'em High part is known by few. I'm not sure if they announced the squad as Hang'em High when they performed, but they are within history as Hang'em High, which is the squads that twirled and danced.
I'm curious as to the name Hang'em High.
Hey, well, if you
it's kind of sus.
What are we talking about?
Well, if you look at the whole scope of the whole performance around Prancing J Set and their whole setup with per se their march, which is called the Salt and Pepper. Well, and when they march, they sound like Clydesdales coming down the street with it. So that whole Western phenomenon was real big back then also too. And so everybody wanted to take a little part of that Western and embed it somewhere in their being. And that's where Hang'em High came from.
Where did you come with this information, Dijon?
Well, those that came before me, I'm a person that loves history and voracious with history. And coming into Jackson State, knowing that there had been a lineage and a tradition of twirlers, so stated to me and professed to me by Dr. Littell himself, and then also Demoris Adams that recruited me, that came before me as a twirler. And then I did my own history and being around Elder J Sets as well, history, it all congeals together there. You know, that we are all one body there within performance to the boom. So yeah.
Man,
So check this out. So the information that you're sharing now, I say this all the time, and I'm not going to break my stride. Every time we do this show, I learn something about somebody that I did not know. I've been knowing you over 20 years, sir. Okay. Never heard any of this information. Never knew you knew any of this information. The information that you're providing right now for us is going to be...
It's
definitely on wax. But it's going to be. But somebody's eyes are going to go, oh, Hang what? Hang who? For Hang'em High? Like I've never heard that.
Yeah,
never heard that. So I'm appreciative in this moment, these few seconds here, of you telling this story, sir. Because I never knew that. And we've had Chloe on. We've had a J Set on here, and she never said that. Not to say that she didn't know it, but we never got to that, whatever. Yeah. But I'm listening to you in this moment, and I'm so appreciative of all of the knowledge and the history that is under the table, under the carpet, under the rug, that no one knows about. That, you know, this is important. This is the stuff that makes the boom what it is. These people that are either our elders or no longer with us, they transform the boom into what it is today.
Yes, yes, indeed.
And they set a foundation. They put the table there. And the table is there, and you just get on the table and just ride the wave. So, oh my gosh, hang them high, hang them high.
Hang them high. And history varies. And who receives the history? And who transmits the history. Mm-hmm. Mm. And levels are different. This person may know this dimension of history to this point. Yeah. This person may know this dimension of history to this point there. Mm. And so it's all about bringing it together. That's what it is. It's all about bringing it together. Yeah. Because we're dealing with multiple generations of rich history within one family under one umbrella. And so it's good with broad podcasts like this and others to bring all of that together.
Yeah.
And I'm sure each guest brings a taste of history to each podcast, especially with the experience from their years. Mark,
I will tell you this, that you're 100% correct. Anybody we bring on, we learn something from, and it allows us to be able to enrich our history and lock it in. We call it putting it on wax, you know. And we just want to put it on wax because, like, we're not going to be able to put all of this history together. So it's probably going to be somebody, you know, years, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now to be able to put all this stuff together and make it something. And we just know it's great because we feel it, right?
Yes, yes, indeed.
Something that we like always to do is always give our guests their flowers. And at this time, I'm going to go ahead and give you your flowers because what I've always admired about you is your approach to friendship. Like, I remember meeting you when you came on Jackson State campus, and it was always like, let me know about you. You know, you care about the people that are around you. You're interested in the people that are around you. And you were cool, and we knew that you were cool. And you accepted people because of the coolness in them, even if it was lame. You accepted that. And so, like, I really appreciate that in you. And that is what brought people and made people comfortable with you because of your acceptance of everybody.
Well, and that sword cuts both ways. Mm-hmm. People were very accepting and welcoming to me. I didn't know what I was walking into at Jackson State. Mind you, I didn't know anybody. I'm coming, and I must say, I was more active, more involved, embodied a great relationship with people more than I did when I was at Alabama State. And I look back at that often because I was kind of forced to. I was out of my comfort zone there, and that's where we all need to be that way. Sometimes we need to be kind of pulled out of our comfort zones. And to be able to meet people, and that's how you build bonds. That's how you make connections. Mm-hmm. You know, if you stay within that comfort zone, you don't grow. Mm-hmm. And so, I felt that I growed a lot there at 1400 J.R. Lynn Street.
Yeah.
A lot there in F.D. Hall. Right. A lot there just in Jackson. Period. Mm-hmm. There. And so, yeah. They're like I said, that sword cuts both ways. I love people. I enjoy learning about people, and I enjoy them learning about me. So that acceptance factor there plays an intricate role in both parties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that people don't recognize it. Maybe not even now, but Jackson State, we're really progressive in our thought and our mission and everything, and accepting everybody. And you coming in, it just that as far as like people are people, and it's a human experience, and we all can move forward in all of this, you know.
Right I agree. Yes sir.
I wanted to ask you DeJohn about that, about, you know, what, how that transition from Alabama State to Jackson State was, and like what was the difference in the culture for you. So you kind of spoke on it already. But I just wondered about that. You know, like, was there a difference, or is it just, you know, all HBCUs are the same, or was it, you know, was there a difference?
It was different, and all HBCUs are not the same. All HBCUs have their own seasoning. Wow. They have their own texture.
Seasoning, I like that.
Yes, their own texture. Even though we're all under the umbrella of HBCU greatness and richness, our campus, well, JSU per se, is not going to have the same energy, or the energy may be just a little, or will be different in what they have to offer than Alabama State or Jackson State, Alcorn. Each campus is different. There's a seasoning there. I've not been to one HBCU campus. I've been to a many in my 44 years of living. All of them, and first of all collectively, they're welcoming, very welcoming. Mm-hmm. But there is a texture and a tradition of seasoning that is contoured to each HBCU mm-hmm. there. And that's what I experienced leaving Alabama State. I went into another situation, Jackson State Unit. There was a different texture there. Mm-hmm. And it's a texture I had to learn there. And it's mm-hmm. a texture that I adore to this day. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why when we all get together, it's like 20 years hadn't been by. Mm-hmm. Because Jackson, of that texture.
I was going to say, Jackson State, that lemon pepper.
That lemon pepper, 12 piece. Fry hard.
Crazy wild. All black crazy. Right. Lemon pepper, all black to you.
All flats.
All the wings. So, Dijon, so real crazy thought, right? So, my brain is swimming with my questions and what I have that I want to ask,
yes, sir.
You know, but usually when I hear things that our guests say, I piggyback, I pull from that if there's something that sticks into the noggin of mine. One of the things that I remember about you when I was at Jackson State marching in the Sonic Boom of the South between 1998 and 2001, it's almost like you just appeared, boom.
It did.
Here's this guy that's a twirler. Okay, cool. But before I got to Jackson State, I had already seen guys that were twirlers. The fire, whatever, splits on the field, throw the baton way up in the air, 30,000 feet in the air, and it comes down, boom, and you catch it and you keep spinning. So 30,000, I said what I said. So here you are, you come in, you came in, in that whole 1998, 99, 2000 era where we were all in the boom, us four, and you came in and you gravitated to that legacy, but you came in as a guy that could continue that legacy that we saw, but we didn't even really understand twirlers. We had a twirler on, we had Melanesa on. We didn't really understand twirlers because we were too busy trying to figure out notes, play our instrument, march, get your feet up, get your knees up, 8 to 5. So, but then there's a guy or a girl, there's a guy or a person that is in the auxiliary format, killing it. We never saw the auxiliary person twirler until either practice, like, or a game performance, all right? When we're at practice, we're in the band hall, cool. You guys may come out, do your thing, practice, and you're gone. But it's like, it was crazy because I remember this, and this is the honest to God truth. I remember you popping up. You popped up out of nowhere, and you were like the dopest twirler ever. Literally, I'm not even trying to give you, you know, I'm not trying to be whatever, but like literally when you came in, it was like, oh, who is this guy? Oh, that's Dijon. Oh, okay, cool. He cold blooded. The man ain't he good. Keep him up. Okay, cool. So my thing is, it's like, okay, remembering when you came in, you handled your business. I know there was a lot of, oh, who is this guy? Where he come from? Alabama, blah, blah, blah. So did you ever deal with any like weird kind of things from the outsiders that you were able to block off? Come on with it.
And surprisingly, and looking back at it now, and as I did in the past, I did not. I did not. And I think more so is because I was confident in myself as I am now.
Yes.
Come on, man. Say that one more time. And, say that again, DeJuan.
I was confident in myself then as I am now. Yeah. Oh. And I was a little bit older also, too. I was already over 21 when I entered into JSU. So there was not a whole lot that I had not already experienced, or I had not experienced back at home, that I would, you know, that would bother me or press me to a certain extent. But to my surprise and chagrin, coming, I was expecting that. Case in point, tryouts, spring 2001. Well, I'm thinking I'm just going to come in and, you know, sit. There was an interview process and a performance. I'm thinking I'm just going to interview it, and that's it. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to sit here and watch and see what's going on next. Coming in, Doc Liddell, twirla, 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 to the flow, to the flow. I'm like, what? I was like, okay. Let me get my CD. Go over there to Karamu.
You said CD. You said CD.
That's CD. Right there to you long ago. A CD.
Shout out to DJ Unpredictable.
DJ Unpredictable.
Yes, and took it over to DJ Unpredictable, Karamu Connings, which he and I were in the same department in liberal arts also, too. A lot of same
me
class.
Too. Me too.
Great man. Great
shout
man.
Out to Mascon. Mascon.
Yes. And so I give him my CD, tell him the number, and it wouldn't play. So I'm out on the floor. I went back to the floor to set up. I was like, oh, Lord. I was like, I need this music to come on. Because at that time, keep in mind, auditions were in TB Ellis. And it was packed.
Yeah, we're booing you.
And we were a little bit more rowdy back then. A
little bit.
I was like, these folks, like, they about to have tomatoes ready. But I'm like, please, come on, please get it. Yeah, I mean, get it. Please, please. All I know is that how I saw, like, if you wait too long, it'd be and five, six, and five, six, seven, eight. They were counting.
Just like that.
It was a mentally safe place.
I was telling myself, well, you need to go out here on this floor, and you need to do this performance and come out. So what I went out, it was quiet. It was quiet during the entire time. When I ended, the gym went up there. And it took all of me to burst into tears right there, because I expected the worst coming in there. I had all these preconceived notions. But at the end, I was like, these people are applauding because they appreciate my talent. They appreciate who I am. All they see is this talent here.
Yep.
That's all it was about. Oh, that's all it was about.
I love that. Come on.
I hate you.
Hey, man.
Because it's facts. Like we see it. Like,
and then
it's all about the talent.
All about the talent.
What can you do?
What can you do?
I appreciate it.
Because if I was not good, that's when them boos would have come in.
Yes. Period.
Big, big and loud.
I've got to be good. Because I'll be good.
Loud. Do it.
Hey, can you twirl? That's all
can
we
you
need.
Twirl. You throw that thing and it bounce back to you and catch it.
Exactly.
it need to bounce back 10 yards at least.
You got
to
catch 10 it.
10 yards.
You got to look like it was a surprise.
What?
I need something to twirl. I got something to twirl. Hold on.
No, no way.
No.
Hold on. I'm going to twirl this.
What is that?
What is going
this
on?
This is a flamingo. It's a flamingo toy.
It's a butter.
You know what? Don't worry about it. I threw it away.
It didn't bounce back.
So here's something crazy about this. So you talk about tryouts. You talk about old head boomers, all of the band staff, want to be boomers, people that were current boomers. We're there. We're watching. We're ready for the negative. We're ready to run you up at the door. We are ready to say boo, but. Not we as in excluding you, but you are a part of the we. Correct. However, but the we before us three and you, they were ready to boo you out of there. But you said something that was very profound, my good sir. You said that the people respected your talent.
Correct.
your talent that you brought from Alabama. You brought that talent. You came in. You were like, here I am. I'm a guy that can twirl. So what's up? History of twirlers, guy twirlers at JSU, been there before we were born. It's been there in the 70s.
It spans back to the 1950s.
That's right.
So, yeah.
50s?
To the 1950s, right? You've had twirlers since then. And like I said, through the years, the lineage, a majority of them have been male. So, yes.
DeJohn, you reaffirmed, right? Like, before you was DeMorris, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. Yes. Which was the 90s.
Yes.
He might have marched a game in 98. Did he march a game in 98?
DeMorris craft season was 96. He had a twirling partner. I want to say Kanisha Crawford, mm-hmm. who was also mm-hmm. a twirler. And then he also twirled with, her name is Angela Talley, but she was known as Stoney.
What year was this?
This would have been 98, 99.
So that was our year. Stoney.
Yeah. She came in 98 or 99.
From Georgia.
99.
From Georgia. Yeah,
really. One year.
Stoney. Light skin. I remember she was short.
She sure did.
I remember.
Stoney Light skin set it off.
Mr. Key had referenced Melanice, and Melanice and I know each other from the twirling competition, the competition level.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you were a competitive twirler.
I was a competitive twirler from all the way from age 8 on up.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's how Melanie and I met in competition. All right.
So real quick. Let me say this real quick. It's crazy how fast the time goes. We got about 8 minutes. We got about 8 minutes. And we're going to try to stretch those minutes. You just said competitive twirling because Melanie's talked about the competitive twirling vibe that she was on in her younger years. Yes. I never knew you did that.
Yes.
Talk about it. Talk about it.
She's doing now. She's
so
doing
now we're doing rapid still, questions yeah. right now. Talk about this.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and at what Melanie's and I experienced on the local level, you start on the local level, and most of these competitions were what is called the United States Baton Twirling Association. Which is alive and well. And it starts on your local level and then you build through there. You compete local level, then you can compete in age groups. It goes all up into international also too. And so Melanice and I crossed paths within that competition phase when we were younger. I'm some years older than Melanie. So she was in different classes, twirling classes, age classes, and ability and skill classes under mine. But we were at the same competitions some years. And she has gone on to perform great as a twirler within within competition. Also a former JSU twirler, my sister, little sister. Yeah. And she is currently the coordinator director for the Sophisticated Ladies at Tennessee State University.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yes, she has grown and her skill level and her mastery is great. Yeah. So yes.
DeJohn, like when did it happen? Like when it was like, what was the moment that you were interested in twirling?
Mm-hmm. Very good question.
Man, great.
Very great.
Yeah.
I got interested. Thank you, John.
And how?
I was interested because I used to love looking in old yearbooks. And I did not know that my own mother was a majorette in high school.
Come on, mama.
And just so happened, I was looking through her yearbooks. You know, and I was young. I had to be, what, maybe 6, 7, somewhere up and down. And look, I was like, well, why this look, mama, this look like you. And but this, and boom. And that's where the interest began.
Wow.
And she was, you know, she was telling me how she was a major and she pulled out other pictures then. And so I kind of took a like and I was already key to fancy seeing it. But my first makeshift baton was you know, the clothes hangers with the
cardboard.
That's what it's cardboard.
Mm-hmm. My first drumstick.
I just assembled that, and that was my first baton.
Come on. Wow.
Yoga guitar was my first drumsticks.
Did John, how did you know to do it as a baton? Like, how
I knew it for seeing my mother, and then also just seeing visuals as far as other marching bands, other major round locally, mm-hmm. Nearest high schools, and somehow I just chimed into it because I've always loved the performing arts, mm-hmm. You know, period. And that is a part within the performing arts. And so when I was like, that is interesting, I believe I can do that too. Grabbed on to it, took off.
Stop right there. So now you got the cardboard baton. What was the next step to get you like serious?
The next step were, and I must say I was very blessed to have a family that have indulged in every whim of talent I wanted to take. Their lessons started after then. Mm-hmm. I started myself getting in the backyard, teaching myself. A desire, a joy. It made me feel good.
Before YouTube.
Before YouTube, before social media.
Yeah.
Before any type of tutorials that you can look at.
Yeah.
You know. So that's where the passion came from. Seeing the performance, seeing how the crowd respond to the performance. Mm-hmm. Seeing all the tricks, the physicality of it. And then to be able to do that and put it in a competition setting also too. Put it in a performance setting. I was like, I can do all of that. You know, and I was like, and I want to do all of that. And so years of training myself and other training coming in, which led to me twirling in high school, competing more in high school and into the collegiate level. So, yeah.
So watch this real quick. So, so I had a thought and I had a jump. So Dijon, so, you know, Toby normally always give the flowers, but I'm not going to give the flowers. I'm going to connect the dots a little bit more.
Go ahead, connect them
there. I'm going to connect the dots a little bit more. So, you know, I remember, la, 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 la. So, so I remember once again, so I mentioned this earlier, I was like, you know, and we got about 4 more minutes.
Dude.
I remember when you popped up and it was like, oh, okay. This dude here is cool. He cold-blooded. What he doing? So you took the field. You performed. You did your thing. But you did your thing with a legacy training, with a legacy.
It was in your heart. It was in your
soul to do that. You weren't doing that just to go and get, just so you can perform and get a scholarship or whatever it was. Right. You did that because there was something that was in you. It was embedded in you from childhood. So like it started. So I got, you know, I got 2 little boys. They're 6 and 4. They're about to be 7 and 5 in like 2 weeks. So it's like I'm watching them figure out and pick up little bitty things. So you were the guy that was able to pick up something that you loved and you saw your mom and you knew that your mom was she a twirler or majorette?
Yeah, she was a majorette. She was a twirler.
She was a majorette
too. Yes.
So she did everything that you've done. So you basically patterned everything after your mom, which I think is amazing from a talent perspective, mm-hmm. from a performer perspective, from a guy that's embedded into the arts and embedded into artistic things and artistic approach, man. Literally, dude, I'm listening to these stories and I'm crazy smacking myself in the head because I really need about 30 more minutes with mm-hmm. you on this, but man. We you know we got to keep it short.
Absolutely.
You know, about an hour, man. So I can appreciate your story, man, and I'm gonna keep it short. I'm glad you were able to come on and talk about this because
thank you for having me. It was an honor. Thank you.
It's crazy, man. So we talk about, we know, we, like I say, we had Melanie's on and the twirlers, you know, they you know, we see the twirlers on YouTube and, you know, social media, whatever, you know, videos from back in the day, and then you fast forward videos up until now, you know, the fire, bounce the twirler back, throw it up 89,000 feet in the sky.
89,000 feet
from the last time. I first I was like
180,000.
Also, just to touch on real quickly, about the rollback there.
Come on.
And that became an embedded tradition because it was created by Roy Lee Jones, who twirled, I want to say, 1988 through 91 there. And it was first seen, and it took off nationwide. And it was actually from that very same footage I saw in 1990 on BET. And when he did it, he threw it way down. I said, well, dang, he threw it, and it came back. And it took off because the whole nation, everybody was watching. And everybody, HBC-wise, whether it be twirlers and PWI, all have tried to emulate that stuff. And keep in mind that that was originated right at JSU.
Come on.
In Sonic Boom.
Come on.
Yeah, I love it.
Can't nobody else claim it. It's origination.
Claim that. You cannot claim that.
Hey, so look. I got one last question, man.
Go ahead, though.
One last question. Is twirling becoming a lost art?
In various sectors, you will find more twirling, baton twirling per se, which the banner of Majorette originally formulated under. You will find that more vigorously done and performance-wise optics in PWIs, from PWIs. We in HBCU, yes, we still embrace the talent. We still embrace the art. But now the going trend and phenomenon is dancing, which is good. And it still offers a space for performers, for young performers and cultivating them. And also more now with this generation and how it's used. Twirling and dancing is more a building character now. The arts build character as well. It's one thing for you to go out and to perform, but there's a different way. There's a certain way you perform. There's a certain way you dispense yourself within your performance. And so with dancing and twirling, it's taking on a different brand now because the generations are different. Tastes are different. Likes are different. What you like to see performance-wise is different. So there's still a platform for it. There's still a space for it. One just have to go to where it is now, per se. It's not per se big on both spectrums, big in HBCU and big in PWI at the same time now. It's kind of it's more cultivated in PWI more than HBCU. Now, but the talent still lives. The want for it still lives per the band, per the marching band, per the entity. So yeah, that would be the difference now. Generational change and taste change.
I love that.
Hey man, listen. So this is what we're about to do. I'm gonna say I'm very appreciative of you, my good sir. I'm appreciative of you and your talent and your time because you were able to come on and kind of have a conversation with us, and then you share with you share your talents with us, the things that we did not know, and we marched with you. I love that. I love that you were able to come on here and talk about the things that we did not know. And you kind of put us up on game. You taught us something. So we're literally out of time. So I want to ask this question.
Yes, sir.
And then I'm going to let Tobin Dunyell say whatever they want to say. I'm going to ask you my perspective. So do you have anything that you would like to say as we close? Any shout outs, any parting words, any words of wisdom, anything that's on your heart, that's on your mind, my good sir?
Absolutely. First, I thank all of you for having me on. I'm very honored and grateful. I was just one of the guys in the band that twirled, but to see that what I did actually made a lasting touch.
Yes.
To people to be remembered. That is something so profound. That is something so memorable and cherishing. We all can't be famous, but we all can be great. Within what we do there. And so I'm very grateful to you all for having me on. And just I believe in cultivating of talent, the bridging of talent, mm-hmm. and yeah, and all of ourselves, all of us are artists within our own right, you know. Yeah. So yeah, that's what we do.
That's true. Yes, that's facts. That's absolute facts. Yeah. John, what I was saying earlier was basically that you continue the tradition. You know, he recruited you, but you didn't have to come.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have to come, but you were, you did, and you were the only one mm-hmm. with your level of talent, yep. right?
Talented.
And you came and you did that thing.
You did that thing.
Right? Thank Which allow others you. To come after you. Thank you know? And so not only that, but like we marched with you. We were in the band with you.
Together. Yes.
Together. Yes.
Yes. So yes. Yes, indeed.
When you got there, like we were already there. And we, so we were a part of that group that welcomed you. Like, oh,
yes.
He got it. You know what I mean? He cold. You know, and
I just, yeah, I felt also, not to cut you off, Daniel, I felt also I had some big shoes to fill for those that came before me, that twirled out, was just phenomenal. And then we're talking mm-hmm. about a marching program that is solidified nationally and known internationally as well. We're not just talking about walking in like, hey, I want to be a part of this. No, there's something you one has to bring, mm-hmm. you know, talent wise. Mm-hmm. There and I felt that's what I had to do. I had to bring it. You know, I'm filling some big shoes here. We're talking about some performers that before me that are solidified within tradition, within mm-hmm. a program. Mm-hmm. You know, so that speaks different volumes there. So yeah, you know, very grateful to be a part of the program, to be accepted within the program, and to also to march a among giants as you all are. You know, within the program. You know, come on,
stop it,
please,
stop it.
Toby, you got anything, my good brother?
Like, this was a fun episode.
Mm-hmm. It was,
yes,
like,
it was.
John, man, like I'm excited about this dropping. I think that you brought a lot to our organization. But I also thought, I think that you allowed us to everybody to grow and that's impeccable in everything, like just being able to grow and be, you know, stewards to this community. And like, I think you've added value to Jackson State University. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate
you. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate very you, blessed. Man. Like this was a fun episode. This
yes, was, it was. Yes.
This was fun. This fun. Was
very fun.
And I appreciate all that you brought to this, like the history, the knowledge, absolutely. The like that just the time that you took to dig into the history of Jackson State University and the Sonic Boom and the J-Sets and all of that, man. Like you're an impeccable talent. I appreciate you. This is
great. Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, look, thank you once again, my good brother. We about to sign off, man.
Absolutely.
And I wish we had another 30 minutes to an hour to continue. Because I got 8 more questions that I want to ask. But
we're gonna ask them after the show.
So don't click off. Don't click off yet. So we're gonna sign off. So thank y'all for tuning in. This is Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. This is Band Sessions with Mr. Bones. The pom-poms are $2 now. They're not $1 anymore. So when you go to the game, you see they maybe
they're not taking cash no more. You got to do cash.
Right. Right.
You guys, before we go.
We got deep.
We got the roses. The roses campaign.
Come Let's on, with it.
Going on right now. For all of you watching, all of our viewers, all of our listeners, please visit jsums.edu/roses to contribute to the Sonic Boom of the South getting to Pasadena, California for the Tournament of Roses Parade. That is jsums.edu/roses.
Yep.
If everybody that marched in the boom gave $20.
$20.
$20. Everybody from, that's marched in the boom.
Everybody from 63 on up. You living. Yeah. I'm going to just say living. Like living.
60 years.
Yeah. Gave $20.
$20.
I'm just saying.
I love
it. Saying like it's $20. It's 20.
That was great. Yeah, that was great. I'm glad you did that. I appreciate that.
Deserve it. All right.
Big as the what? Come on.
But I'm gonna say this though. Like we're gonna come back next week. Like two weeks from now. Like
it, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Yeah, give another $20. Like it's just $20.
$20.
All right, y'all. So thank you, Toby. Thank you, Dunya. Thank you, Dijon.
I love y'all, man. Y'all awesome.
I love all y'all. We are signing off. This is it. We're done. We're gone. Check this out. Check us out. Support the boom, baby. Love the boom.
Love the boom.
We're doc babies. We're doc babies. No disrespect to nobody else, but we're doc babies. It's doc in the building, baby. All right, y'all. Check it out. Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. This is Band Session with the Boom. If you have not gone to all of our platforms, we're on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Google Podcasts. Tongue Twister.
Yeah.
We're on Google Podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify, and we're definitely on YouTube. Go to the site, click the bell, hit the like button, boom, get all the notifications. We out of here. Let me get my pump on.
Again, we doing the pom-poms.
Hey, football season is approaching. Yeah. Listen, y'all, football season approaching real quick. Holla at y'all. Peace out.
Peace.
Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club is presented by Bet Online.